In WWE, we said we're going to bring justice to an unjust world, and that's just what we've done.
Brick by brick by brick, we have torn down the wall of injustice that has been building up in this company for years. From the moment we began our crusade at Survivor Series until, well, right now, not a person that has stood in our way has been able to stop us. As a matter of fact, we changed the course of WWE history when we stopped Ryback from becoming WWE champion.
That was just the beginning. No one can stop the Hounds of Justice. Not the Great One.
Not even a giant.
And not even the champ.
Why would you need a mouthpiece?
Loose cannon of commentary!
Cause you're a jealous old bastard!
You're listening to Smack Talk Radio Live.
We've got a new champion. Listen to this.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
Oh, man! Oh, there you go!
How do you feel about headlining one more WrestleMania with The Rock?
There's going to be no stopping the excellence of execution.
Your source for news.
It's been essentially a Twitter mania.
Views and opinions on everything wrestling.
Woo! Woo!
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
From the big leagues. To the local scene.
Vancouver, it's payback time.
Now.
You know, this show doesn't revolve around one guy, you know?
Here's James McDonald.
What the hell?
Maybe you're not the best in the world.
And Corey Callahan.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
If you're some man, but the Rock is cooking.
From the parents paid it.
What, James? That's not cocky at all.
What? I don't even know what you're referencing there.
You know, I was just thinking about the Shield as we heard from them off the top of the show there. I mean, as great as they are, I'm still just trying to figure out what the word injustice means.
Well, at this point, they're still being used as a plot device rather than something with a clear motivation behind it. But nevertheless, they're the best thing going in the WWE right now.
Very, very interesting. You know what else is interesting? This show, Smack Talk Radio Live. Did that work?
Sure, that works.
Hello, everyone. My name is Corey Callahan. Sitting next to the guy wearing the Vancouver Canucks sweater. Wait, hey, what are you doing?
Hey,
oh,
I'm,
my God.
I'm still the faithful, man.
I was just going to pretend that you ripped off your sweater to reveal a San Jose Sharks jersey.
Please, there's only so much believability that we're willing to throw out the door here, my friend. Come on now.
James McDonald. James, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad, my friend. It's a beautiful evening here in the Smack Talk Studios in Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm stoked, as always, to break down the week's latest and greatest in the world of professional wrestling right here on the show by the fans for the fans.
Wrestling Talk Radio. Basically, it's what it is. We're catching y'all up on the week it was in pro wrestling. Now, to find this show, you gotta head to www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. Add us on Twitter at SRL Radio.
Yes.
And if you're looking for something else to do, well, hey, you may as well do this. Hit us up on Stitcher at Stitcher.com. Now, what's worth mentioning here as well tonight is that James McDonald has finally signed up for Twitter.
Yes, finally.
Hell has frozen over.
I have finally gotten my own personal Twitter, so if you want to follow me, it's at J_McDonald25. But why you would want to do that, I have no idea.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Like, what took so long for you to get on Twitter? I gotta ask.
Well, honestly, it's all the names, all the combinations of the name that I wanted to use for my username were being used and used in such stupid ways, too. It was like people with like one follower or whatever. And finally, I just tried again today, and I finally got one of the names that I wanted to use.
You're telling me that's the entire reason as to why you had not signed up for
Twitter?
That is
my story, and I'm sticking to
it. Oh, my God. You're like my dad. My dad doesn't even have an email address.
My dad
has zero internet presence. I mean, I don't know if that's a bad thing or a good thing. I'm thinking it's more a good thing.
You gotta look at it this way. He's off the grid, right?
My dad doesn't even have a cell phone.
Well, there you go.
He just uses my mom's. Whatever works for you.
Wow. That's really off the grid.
Big week in professional wrestling this week, James. Or was it? WWE had its Monday Night Raw from Columbus, Ohio. It was interesting, I guess you could say. I don't know. We'll get into it.
Sure, if you want to say interesting.
All right, fair enough. But, you know, let's go back to something that we used to do all the time. We're bringing it back. We did it last week for the first time. Let's catch up on the latest business of the business. The Post to Post Report.
Catching you up with the business of the business. It's time for the Post to Post Report.
All right, the Post to Post Report. I like this segment because we get to talk about the current affairs of professional wrestling, the stuff that's really making the news headlines, not so much the stuff we're talking about that happens on Monday Night Raw. It's an interesting segment, and this week we should be no different. Now, before, we used to read down the headlines, but I was noticing that James and I really didn't have a lot of time to give our opinions on these topics, so I'm going to just change up a little bit about
make it a little bit more streamlined, easier for people to listen to and follow along, right?
We'll see how it goes. I'm not saying it's the official way we're doing it yet, but hey, it's the Post to Post Report. We can do whatever the hell we want.
Exactly. It's our show, not yours.
Let's start off by talking about The Rock. And today, well, first of all, it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Dwayne Johnson.
Happy birthday.
Can't even get his name right. I just call him The Rock. But it's The Rock's birthday today, and on his birthday, he got some pretty damn good news, and that is that The Rock has signed on to do a series on HBO. Now, James, we live in Canada, and we may not really understand just how big HBO is, because it is primarily in the States.
It's a huge cable network.
But this show is going to be about chronicling the lives of athletes living in Miami, which is something The Rock can relate to. He's actually signing on to star in it and executive produce this new drama comedy series for HBO.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, it reminds me instantly of one of my all-time favorite shows, and that is Entourage, which Mark Wahlberg was the co-star and producer of back in the day. I mean, that show is great, and that was chronicling the lives of, you know, them rising up to Hollywood.
Entourage.
Well, this is going to be Miami, Rock's hometown.
So
this is huge news.
So is Mark Wahlberg involved with this show then?
I'm assuming that he's probably going to show The Rock the ropes or how it's all done, as he has done it before for HBO, if you know what that means, you know. So, I don't know, I'm
assuming The Rock's going to be playing a character, not himself type thing, right?
Who knows? I mean, it could be he really is an athlete living in Miami. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it could be about The Rock. I mean, this brings up an even bigger question to us wrestling fans, though, and that The Rock, is he finished with wrestling? I mean, the guy's got movies coming out of his ass. And now he's doing a show
really well at the box office as well.
And this is a series for HBO, so where is Rock going to fit in wrestling? And hey, can you blame the guy?
Well, hey, this is going to make him a lot more money. And I mean, being on HBO, you know the show is going to be it's going to be a good show. It's going to have some swearing and some TNA, and so it's
HBO puts out is good.
My favorite show is on HBO right now, Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's right.
Currently midway through the third season right now, and it's a good one, I tell you.
Why don't we talk about this new deal that the WWE has struck with Yahoo?
Yes, that's going to be big. First question that comes to my mind is, what's going to happen with their partnership with YouTube? Is that finished?
No, this is a symbiotic relationship. I mean, this is why this is what I wanted to bring up about this. The WWE is creating business relationships with everyone. They've got USA Network for Monday Night Raw. They got Sci-Fi for SmackDown. Is that even where SmackDown is? I'm pretty sure it's Sci-Fi.
SmackDown? Yes.
Sci-Fi?
Yes.
They got an agreement with Hulu. They have an agreement with YouTube. And they got Twitter. And they got Tote.
But this is
just one more.
This agreement with Yahoo, though, isn't this essentially all the same stuff that they were going to be doing through their YouTube channel, like the 30-minute pre-shows and all that kind of stuff. So,
well, yeah, let me just recap what it is. It is a 30-minute Monday Night Raw pre-show, which is happening every Monday night.
Right.
And this is on top of already a three-hour Raw. That's something to keep in mind.
3 hours and 30 minutes now of WWE, in case you weren't getting enough before.
Yahoo's going to have exclusive access to WWE archives of historic full matches, shows, and highlights. Huh. They're going to have additional pre-show content for WWE pay-per-views, and then they're going to have clips from current shows. I mean, this, to me, makes me ask the question, why are you doing this at a time when you're supposed to be launching your own network? Isn't this a great thing to put on your own network heading into Monday Night Raw, for example?
This just says to me that the network's nowhere in the near future. So,
well, it's funny you say that, James, because today the WWE had its first quarter conference call, and that's with Vince McMahon and CFO.
Always interesting, yeah.
George Berrios. I'm not going to get into all the boring details of the whole thing because
what?
It can
Why
get
not?
Rather dry, but I'll give you some quick numbers about that conference call that took place today, and I'm always interested in it because it really does give you a good idea of where the WWE stands as a business, as a company. So revenues in quarter one of 2013, they totaled $124 million, and that's compared to $123.1 million in the prior year's quarter. Operating income was $6.1 million as compared to $16 million in the prior year. Net income was $3 million, or 4 cents a share as compared to $15.3 million, 20 cents a share a year prior.
That's quite a huge drop.
It's not a great quarter. I'm not going to run down all the numbers. I'm just going to say that it wasn't a great quarter for the WWE. There are some things to look optimistic to, or there are some optimistic ideas, I guess you could say. But really what I'm more interested in over the numbers is what Vince McMahon has to say and how he answers to his investors. And here's some things that they were talking about and some of the stuff that came out today. And that was that the WWE, and we talked about this WWE Network, James, they're actually planning now, they're now saying to their investors that the potential network launch would be 2015.
2015 now.
That's what they're saying for an expected WWE network launch. Can you believe that?
Do you remember when they planned to launch it at WrestleMania 28 last year?
Unbelievable. What is going on with this thing?
It's you know what? I say take all the time you need. If you need to take the time to do this thing right, then do it, because this network thing is like a make or break project for the WWE as a company as a whole.
George Berrios said that the WWE is driving on what we need to drive on while they continue to negotiate with potential partners. That scares me a little bit because there is nothing concrete in that sentence.
Huh.
It's very peculiar to me, and as an investor I would be pretty ticked off because, I mean, I've already told you before, I bought WWE stock. I am now an investor at a very minuscule level.
I'm not very wise in the way of finances myself, but just seeing that 20 cents a share go down to 4 cents a share, I mean, even I know that's not good.
But that's not that. I don't know if that's. I'm not sure. Let me read that stock price.
Is that
here. Well? That's net. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out where you pulled up that stat, actually, because I don't know how they put net income into cents per share. That one confused me.
Oh, I got it off a financial website at TWNP, I believe it's called, .com.
The thing with me is that if I was a $1 million investor, I would want to know more. I would want to have more information so I can adjust my stock portfolio accordingly, and I find that they're hiding some stuff. So it scares me a little bit. But that aside, the network, they're not saying that the network's not happening. Do you know what I mean? It's just you tie that up with the announcement of Yahoo and your agreement with Hulu, and it's like, how much programming are you going to have here down the road? You're going to have to fill an entire TV channel and then continue these contracts with these new companies that you've made business relationships with.
Well, not necessarily. Not when the network comes out, they don't have to continue these contracts. Do you really think they're going to continue to have a YouTube channel and a Yahoo agreement when the network finally launches and gets off the air?
If it's on paper and they have to, they would. Right.
Well, I guess it all determines on it's all determined on the length of their contract.
They basically just bought them 2 more years
yeah.
to get this network up and off the ground. Moving on, Vince McMahon also described WrestleMania 29 as a huge success. And how can it not be? I mean, you sitting in that stadium, you realize it is a huge success.
Oh, totally.
He called it the highest grossing and most profitable WrestleMania in history, but he didn't actually provide any further details. A lot of things talked about in this conference call. They talked about this new Total Divas reality show. This is very interesting. What do you think about this, James? The Total Divas reality show that's going to be launching on the E! Network.
Well, honestly, I'm not really a big fan of reality shows in general, so...
Do you think this is good news for the
WWE? I'll watch maybe the first couple episodes, but...
Do you think it's good news for the WWE, though?
In what sense do you mean?
In the sense that...
That they're
getting exposure on a completely different channel.
Well, I
and
think
it's targeting
good.
A female
I think it's
audience.
Good in the, yeah, I think it's good in the sense that it's on the E! Network because that's a huge network and it will bring him definite exposure and maybe a new audience that way. So mm-hmm. in that sense, yes, it's definitely a good thing for the WWE.
They're going to be featuring the Bella Twins, Naomi and Cameron, Natty Neidhart. Or an Italian, I guess. And who else have they said that's going to be
on
the
show? I think it was just... The two Funkadactyls, the Bella Twins, and Natalia. I think it's just the five.
Oh, okay. This brings up this question. Think about WrestleMania 29. We thought we were going to see Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, and the Bellas taking on Brodus Clay, Tensai, and Naomi and Cameron in a 4-on-4 match.
Right.
The match never happened. Think about the people now involved in that match. I begin to wonder, did they scrap the match on purpose, and was it the plan all along to announce this match and then scrap it and have the E! Cameras rolling at the time these people are finding out the match wasn't happening?
That would be a good idea. If I don't think so. Personally, I think it was just because it was poor timing planning by the WWE. But now that you've said that, that's actually a pretty cool hook mm-hmm. or angle to
And
to
that's
do
what
the show.
Show's about, though. It's now we're going to be creating these backstage storylines.
That would be like an interesting... That's not bad. You should be on the writing team.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. Like, it's going to bring a whole new angle to the WWE. You're going to see a lot more backstage things in the life of a wrestler, basically. I mean, it's a little odd that it's these divas because
it
makes me wonder...
They're going to be doing their characters, though, right? They're not going to be...
Well, no. It's going to be... I'm sure there's
going to
be moments.
They're going to be in character, though. That's what I'm saying.
No, I think there's going to be many a moments where they're talking about their character. Really? I think this is the bad part about this show, in my opinion, is that it's going to expose a lot more about professional wrestling than it's already been exposed
to the mass.
But why do we need to advertise that fact here? I mean, all for the sake of a reality show to bring in female fans?
Even exposing the facts not going to harm the professional wrestling industry.
So you think that's a minor negativity about this whole thing? You think that the good outweighs the bad with this show?
At this point, I would say probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody already knows that professional wrestling, it's like magic. Everybody knows magic is an illusion, but that doesn't, stop people from being impressed with it or, stop people from going to go watch magic shows or whatever. It's the same thing with wrestling, right?
Are you convinced that... These are five good divas to put on the show?
I think it'll probably be a good idea focusing the show around the Bella Twins, and I wouldn't be surprised if that was the reason why the WWE brought them back on in the first place was because of this show.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got the chops to carry it, but it'll be interesting to see. It's a reality show. It's going to be interesting to see if they're going to be in character all the time or if they're going to be, playing themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Are we going to see, Nikki and Brie with, Daniel Bryan and John Cena behind the scenes?
I think how they do this show, and this is me speaking if I was producing it, would be they're going to have E! Network camera crews that are not affiliated with the WWE, and they're going to have them rolling on stuff that's happening backstage that involve the divas. So daily interactions. For example, they could start the show at Natalia's home, and then you show Natalia talking about how she needs to get on a plane to get to Columbus, Ohio for Monday Night Raw, and then the camera crews will follow her to the Monday Night Raw taping, and they're going to show her walking around the building, interacting with people in catering, or interacting with some writers or some other wrestlers, and then they're going to be talking about, what they're going to, like, they'll show them warming up for the match. And then perhaps you'll see some kind of almost hard to believe stuff like, oh, Naomi actually stiffed me in the match and she hit me much harder than she was supposed to. So I actually took offense to that and I kind of gave her a shot back. And you know, and then they kind of actually, they're acting and then they're embellishing this hatred over, you know what I mean? Like they could be building storylines on a backstage level through this reality show. That's kind of how I see it going down. Or it could just be completely in a sense that they just camera crews follow these people and they keep it at a really general vague level. They don't dive deep into these girls. But from what I understand, it's an hour long show. So you're going to have to find content to fill an hour. It's not like you can just quickly touch on certain aspects throughout the day. And
I don't think they'll have a problem finding content to fill an hour.
No,
not at all.
Interesting.
Not at all.
Okay. We find it hard to find to fill content for an hour sometimes.
But they've got a whole team of people thinking up of stuff and tanks. And trust me, they won't.
And we don't?
They won't. No, yeah, we don't.
No, I understand.
They won't. They will not have trouble finding content for an hour. Mm-hmm. But anyways, should be a good show.
Last thing I wanted to mention about this conference call was
they... Oh, yeah, that's right. We were talking about a conference call. We kind of got sidetracked there,
that's
didn't all right. we?
That's okay. No, this is what I like about this new segment. The music runs out too quick, and we talk about more... We talk at length more in the post-to-post report, but it's not a terrible thing.
Sure.
one thing I wanted to mention quickly was this. Remember Legends House that they had filmed
a couple years ago? Yes, that was the first content they announced for the WWE Network.
Yeah, and it was a show of where they were pitting legends and stars from the past
and
in a house together.
And it was going to have Rowdy Piper and Iron Sheik.
Well, they've actually shot it. You know, they did shoot the show.
Oh, they did?
They have the series shot and edited and ready to go.
Oh, perfect.
They just don't have anywhere to put it on. They said today in the conference call that the plan for right now...
Why don't they get that on the score?
Well, the score is only Canadian. It's not a international platform.
I know.
Well, you can't just put it on Canadian score. You gotta, well, no. That's a big show for them. They're going to want to debut it everywhere. They want to put it on the WWE Network.
Yeah, no, I understand, but I'm just saying, get it on the score.
Okay. It's so unrealistic sometimes. I was going to say that... The plan as of today is that they are still saving it for the WWE Network. If that doesn't happen until 2015 and they filmed this show last year, we're talking like a 5-year-old show or a 4-year-old show by the time this network gets up and running. Does that seem odd to you or does that not matter?
I don't think so. I don't think that's no. odd at all, no.
Mm, okay. No. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
The conference call. Quickly, before we get into talking about Monday Night Raw that happened this week, the stock price, $9.12 a share. I mentioned that because it is the conference call. It's always interesting to see where the stock ends at the end of the trading day after a conference call. You know, kind of gives you a general idea. But it was $9.12 a share. It's not doing too bad. And television ratings this week, Monday Night Raw, it scored a 3.07 rating, which is down from 3.14 last week. And actually, this would be their second lowest rating of the year.
Well, it was a terrible Raw.
Really? You're just getting right into it,
It was horrible. I'm going to, I'll say it right now.
All right.
Even before we get into the Tale of the Tape.
Well, we got some music to play first. Okay. So you just hold your thoughts. Here is Tale of the Tape.
This life. Five knuckle shuffle lands. Look out, Rollins. Cena rolls through.
That is God-given strength. Wow.
Pure powerball in the leg and out. And a spear. Cena's Achilles gate out. A spear by Reigns. The legal man.
The Shield is won again.
They're still undefeated.
It's time for the Tale of the Tape.
This night, hear the fires burning red. We take this boat and steer it through the storm.
So you didn't like it, eh?
Not a very good Raw this week, coming from Columbus, Ohio, I have to say.
You seem very down on the product these days, James, and that concerns me because typically it's me that's down on the product.
Let me clarify more what I just say there. It was a very good Raw wrestling-wise. The match quality was actually very good, but as far as progressing storylines and the programs, I didn't feel like very much happened, you know? It just felt like a lot of the stuff, a lot of the great matches that happened were just, they were really pointless and just seemed to be, you know, thrown together at the last second. I don't know. That's just how it felt like to me.
Well, we're 2 weeks away from Extreme Rules, and that's, we're just over 2 weeks. And I'm wondering, do you really feel sold on this show? Because you got one Monday Night Raw left, and then one more before you're convincing us to buy this pay-per-view. And I feel like they're just kind of throwing out weekly filler right now. Do you know what I mean?
It just all feels very status quo. You know what I mean?
I'm having a hard time looking forward to something big. I'm trying to figure out, like, what are we looking forward to? Like, I've said it before. 2 years ago, or I guess leading up to WrestleMania 28 in Miami, we had The Rock and John Cena to look forward to.
That was something special, though. I mean, come on.
I know, but you can't
use that as the benchmark.
I know, but then even heading into this past WrestleMania, we kind of suspected that the rematch was going to happen, The Rock versus John Cena.
Right.
I'm just trying to say here that what am I looking forward to long-term down the road? What am I excited for? Because right now they're just convincing me on what happens 2 weeks from now, or what they're just trying to get me excited about something 2 weeks from now. There's no long-term excitement for me.
No, and I don't think you're going to really see a lot of that this year. I think you're going to see a lot of month-to-month booking, and
for these
next few months, I think it might, you know.
But because
it might be shoddily done because of that. Sorry.
And what I was going to say is that because there's no long-term plan, there's no long-term excitement, nothing really that's going to keep me going. I don't even know if the writers can really keep themselves going. Like, how do you? It just feels so on the fly to me.
Well, they're really handcuffed right now. I mean, I was talking with somebody else who actually listens to our show. Surprise, surprise. And I was saying to him, they're suffering from such a lack of star power right now. I mean, a lot of their top guys just aren't there. You don't have The Undertaker. You didn't have CM Punk. You didn't have Brock Lesnar, which meant you didn't have any Paul Heyman. You didn't even have Big Show on this show. It's just,
I hate to say it, though, but they've put themselves in this position.
Yeah, you're right. No, I totally agree with you. They've totally put themselves in this position by relying on, you know, stars from the past instead of really kind of trying to build up the guys that they have currently. I totally agree with you. But
it's no one's fault but their own. They spent years just kind of putting out this mediocre product, and they've really just pushed the old names.
Like,
the new stars are kind of doing the day-to-day tour,
right.
the booking on the fly storylines.
Dolph Ziggler should be a way bigger star than he is right now.
Totally. He's at that point where he should be, but he's not. And
Cody Rhodes should be a way bigger star than he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Bryan should be a way bigger star than he is right now.
They're not selling the mid card to me. I mean, you can give us old names or big names from the past, and you can put them in main event programs, and sure, that'll fill the last 20 minutes of your Monday Night Raw. But the rest of the show,
or buy you a few pay per view buys, but
exactly. But there's nothing that's like really keeping me going here.
That's not a viable. That's not a viable design for the future. Definitely not.
They've set themselves up to just book on the fly on a week-by-week basis. And as a fan,
some of these injuries don't help either.
No,
right?
But as a fan, this style of booking that they're going with right now is translating into an absolutely horrible product. And it's actually translating into this mentality that it doesn't matter what we put out here. You guys just are going to watch anyways. And that's where I feel like it's what's happening right now. Because let's face it, James, you and I, we are watching anyways. And for you and I, they can just put out whatever they want in front of us, and we'll watch it. And I just question, like, there are so many fans that are like us that this is just, it's now created this environment where you can book on a week-to-week basis. You can write Monday Night Raw the day you walk into the arena to do the show. I mean, that's what it feels like to me. There's no long-term plan of any kind. Well, or if there is, they're not showing it, and I need that as a fan.
I think a real problem that they have is the creative team is just not, they haven't really created a lot of of motivations for these characters, and they're not really well developed. So because of that, we're not very invested in them. You know what I mean?
They're just they touch into their characters on the surface. They don't dive deep into these characters because they're not giving them either enough time, or they're writing it in a way where it's just so over the top that I'm not believing it anyways.
Or they'll push one guy one week and then bury him the next, and it's just the parody booking really hurts guys too, because when you have a guy win one week and then lose the next week and then win the next week, it's like, mm-hmm. does he really look any better type thing?
Well, they've created, with this style of booking that they're going with now, and this isn't something that's just happened in the last 2 weeks or so. This has been going on for quite a while. I mean, maybe 2 years, I would even say. It's that they've created this mentality now that wins and losses don't matter in any sort of way. And that's so true with so many of the wrestlers that they do. Wrestlers can go up, 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 and then they go down, 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 and then they go up. And it's all about going up and down, mm-hmm. up and down. And everyone just kind of offsets these hills that they're rolling on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like at one point, Cody Rhodes is going up, but R-Truth is going down.
And Antonio Cesaro, perfect example.
So they've created this mentality that wins don't matter. And let's face it, as hardcore wrestling fans, we all know that the wins really don't matter. But that
wins,
doesn't...
Wins and titles don't matter. They've created this mentality.
They've created that mentality. But as a worker or as a performer in the company, you know, your job is to put others over and stuff like that. So to them,
you
the
ask
wins
anybody
don't
in the,
matter.
You ask anybody in the business, exactly. They're going to tell you wins and losses don't matter. They only matters to the marks.
But that doesn't mean you need to translate that to the crowd. Wins and losses should still matter to the crowd and to the advancement of the storylines. And so that's where I disagree. But
that's a creative issue. That's not a performer's issue on the performers.
But by creating this mentality that wins and losses don't matter, you can do whatever you want now, it seems. It doesn't matter if they win or lose. We can put Ziggler out there this week, and even though he's the champion, he can still lose. It doesn't matter, because next week we can have him absolutely dominate someone, and he's back on top again. And part of the problem is the fans buy into all of this, right? They're no. watching anyways. It's not... It brings me back to my original point. They can put anything out there, and we're watching it.
All right.
And that's where I feel like I'm getting ripped off as a fan right now. But at the same time, it's like... I understand what they're doing. They're setting themselves up so they can go any direction at any point, and it doesn't matter. They can write the show whenever they want. If an injury happens, they still have this flexibility. It's tough for me.
I think creative is really handcuffed at the moment, but you're right. They should come. I don't know. I feel like the product should be maybe a little bit better than it is right now. But
well, you're not excited about it. I'm not. Admitted to me that you're not excited about it. So
it's just stuff isn't making sense, you know? I mean, I understand you have a lack of name power right now, but I mean, stuff should still at least make plausible sense, you know?
Yeah.
I shouldn't say make sense, but I mean, the matches should mean something. I shouldn't say make sense, because that's not the correct term, but I mean, the matches should at least mean something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And stuff should have a point to it. I mean, like the whole tug of war with Mark Henry. Like what was the point of that segment?
Filler.
Just to.
It's filler.
Build the program up between him and Sheamus. And I mean, it was so unbelievable to me.
And their argument is, you need to have really terrible moments on the show to have really great moments on the show. You can't have the entire show being awesome and just nonstop great from beginning to end.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that.
The script of the show needs to go up and down as well, just like people's characters' careers, you know, or your wrestlers' careers, like. But I'm just saying what they're doing, it just doesn't work for me right now. It's not. It's
your typical post-WrestleMania lull. It happens every year. We've talked about this.
But this one just came so quickly.
Last year it was John Laurinaitis. This year it's Ryback and John Cena. Let's talk about Ryback and John Cena.
It doesn't have to be this way, though. It doesn't have to be this way. But you're right. Ryback, John Cena...
John Cena.
This is your main event program.
John Cena. What do you make of his Achilles bruise here, his injury that he's working through?
I think it's a complete work.
You think it's a complete work?
Yes. I think they're using this to sell the idea that at Extreme Rules, when Ryback beats John Cena for the belt, it's because of his ankle injury, not because Ryback actually beat him cleanly. I think that Ryback's going to beat John Cena cleanly here to win the belt at Extreme Rules.
Really?
And while Ryback won't care that it's the ankle injury that caused it. I think that Ryback's going to be, you know, he's going to run with it, as he's going to run with the belt for a while, and John Cena is going to lose and put Ryback over, but it's not going to be like a typical, well, Ryback just beat John Cena. It's going to be Ryback beat John Cena because he had an ankle injury and he wasn't 100%.
Okay.
Do you understand?
No, I totally understand what you're
They're
saying.
They're going to blame the ankle injury.
Really?
That's what I think.
Interesting. I don't think the ankle injury is a complete work. I think he did probably hurt his leg in some fashion, and he probably is gutting it out, and he's working through some sort of painful malady, which, I mean, he's got to, because they're absolutely... I mean, if he was off the show, they'd be really hurting right now, but...
Is it smart?
I can see...
If your top guy, the face of the company, even has a remotely... serious injury, if it's a risk in any way to have him in that ring wrestling, do you even take that chance? So to me, it's like you give the guy 3 weeks to heal if it is legit.
Well, I guess at the end of the day, maybe it's Cena's call, and I mean, this wouldn't be the first time that he's gutted it out through some sort of painful injury, right? So I think he understands what kind of state the company's in, what kind of state the product's in right now. And
you think he goes home and thinks about all that before he says to Vince, "I'm still good to go"? No, I think this is.
I think loyalty to the company has a lot to do with it.
The guy hurts his ankle, and you put him in a match on Monday Night Raw, and you sell the whole finish of the show around this ankle injury. To me, that doesn't add up. I have a hard time believing it. Like, I don't know. I think it's a work, and that's fine. If that's the route they're going, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I think it's a little... I think after Extreme Rules, you're going to... What my prediction is, I think it's going to be correct here. I can't see me... Maybe I'll eat these words, but I think I'm accurate on this one.
Well,
Just the way they marketed the injury as well. Talked about it on their website. You know, they showed him taping up his ankle on Raw. They're selling it like it's a storyline.
Well, who knows? Maybe it's not an injury that's major enough to keep him away from working, and then they just wanted to play it up like it was. Who knows? Maybe it's something like that.
Yeah, maybe.
But I got to say, at this point, this whole Ryback-John Cena dynamic, now at this point, as I think about it more and we analyze it more on our show like this from week to week, this is probably the one match that's got me interested in this Extreme Rules pay-per-views, because, you know... What are they going to do here? Because realistically, both guys are in like a can't-lose situation here.
But do you see my vision here that no matter what,
they can blame it on, oh yeah, his ankle's injured or whatever. I know, I totally understand where you're coming from there.
And so for that reason, already I'm feeling a little ripped off as a fan. But they're thinking, here's our chance to capitalize off this.
Plus they keep Cena looking strong too, right?
Exactly. Which is,
you know...
So the ankle injury to me has become a little more. It's made me like the pay per view a little less, because I feel like
I don't
it's
think so.
Obvious
I'm still
to me now.
I'm still interested. I'm still interested in the dynamic of this match, whether or not John Cena has an ankle.
It'll also be
not.
Interesting to see if they actually put the strap on Ryback. I don't think Ryback is the greatest on the mic. It'll be very interesting to see him as the champion.
I just have this gut feeling that kind of be like a mistake, an Ultimate Warrior-esque. Mistake, you know,
or a Goldberg-esque mistake.
Speaking of Goldberg,
that's why I bring
when he up. When yeah. when he walked out there at the end of Monday Night Raw and stood on the ramp, I'm like, I swear to God, dude, I had to do a double take because I thought that was Bill Goldberg standing there. I'm like, no, man, that's right. Like, if you want to separate a guy,
I know,
from Goldberg, why would you bring him out looking exactly like him, wearing the leather jacket and the beanie on it? I swear to God, he looked exactly like
Bill. How did the crowd not bust out into a Goldberg chant right then and there?
Oh, my God.
Wasn't it painfully obvious? Come on, man. Mix it up a little bit.
Like,
just change it a little bit. Make it your own.
I mean, you want to take the guy... you want to separate the guy from the Goldberg chants, don't you?
It was painfully obvious. Oh. It was bizarre to me. But I guess that's what they want
to
do.
And not an exciting end to Raw either. Just him standing up there on the ramp.
Yeah,
watching it beat down Cena.
It was a show to get us by this week,
wasn't it? It felt like Vince came to the creative team and was like, "Okay, boys, throw 3 hours together, slap something together for 3 hours here, you know? Yeah. And they just took all the names of the performers, you know, threw them up onto like a whiteboard and went, okay, we're going to grab this guy and put it against this guy and just boop, boop, you know?
I mean, very wrestling heavy Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Again, like I said at the top of the segment, I mean, the wrestling was very, very good. I mean, that Dolph Ziggler, Kofi Kingston match.
I'll give it that.
Was excellent. The Del Rio, Antonio Cesaro match, that was another excellent match.
And I was very entertained.
Cody Rhodes. Yes. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, yet another good match. All very long matches too. So,
but by having very long matches and by having a wrestling heavy show, you take away from the promos and the backstage segments and the advancement of the storylines. And so, really, we didn't get a lot advancing this week. We just got a lot of, I hate to use the word, because it's wrestling matches are not filler, but we got a lot of just stuff to get us by till next week.
I totally agree. I totally agree. That's what it felt
the matches like. Were good, though. Cody Rhodes looked excellent in that match. And actually, I was kind of disappointed that Cody Rhodes had lost to Randy Orton there. They were really talking about Cody Rhodes well, or they were taught, you know, they were saying really great things about him during the match. And I looked over at you when we were watching it, and I had said, I think Cody Rhodes is going over here because this could be an opportunity for him to start moving up a little bit.
I liked that he looked a lot more serious in that match.
Yeah.
As opposed to
he looked like a more credible guy that could rise through the ranks.
And like I said, he should be a bigger star than he is right now. He really should. He's got all the right tools, I think.
Is it just a matter of pulling the trigger on this guy?
I think it's just a matter of finding a good I mean, what he's got right now with Damian Sandow isn't bad, but I mean, it's just finding something for this guy and then booking him properly, and that's what it's going to take, you know.
But then really, if you look at Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler is supposed to be what Cody Rhodes will probably be down the road, but Dolph Ziggler's time is right now.
They're not
even doing it properly with him.
I have a feeling Dolph Ziggler is going to be like one of the top, if not the top guy in the company in the next 5 years here.
5 years is a long time. He's been doing this for a while already. That's a long time away.
But you know what?
I can't see that long. It's got to be closer than that. They're arguing that it's right now.
I wouldn't put him on the same level as a CM Punk or a John Cena or a Triple H right now.
Have you ever even once given him the opportunity to run like that?
No, you haven't, because you've done all this flip-flop booking with Dolph Ziggler, and that's the reason why I wouldn't put him at the same level as those guys right now. I mean, yes, I do agree this him having the strap right now is a good thing for him. I think it's the start of his ascension to that upper echelon with those names that I just mentioned. And again, it's all going to come down to, you know, hopefully they keep him booked strong and he's got a strong title run and he holds on to that title for a long time. And that's really what it's going to take.
Do you keep him with Big E Langston and AJ Lee right now?
I think so. I think we're going to see some really interesting things come out of these three. I think they're going to keep these three together. They're going to be a powerful stable moving forward. And I think you're going to see them all wearing belts very soon. I think you're going to see AJ Lee take the Divas title off of Caitlin. And I think they kind of hinted at a Kofi Kingston, Big E Langston feud after that match that he had with Ziggler there. When
so you're saying all three of them could be wearing championship belts?
All three of them could be wearing championship belts, kind of like Evolution-esque, you know, 10 years ago. And I mean, that would be good right now. I think the product could use a strong stable where they're all holding titles.
It's a good-looking stable.
It is.
And maybe belts around all their waists is what's needed.
I think so.
Interesting.
So that's what I think. That's my prediction.
So that would mean, or that would lead me to assume, that Dolph Ziggler is walking out of Extreme Rules as champion, facing Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger in a triple threat match.
I would be extremely, extremely surprised if he didn't.
I know, me too.
I would be like, seriously, it would blow my socks off if he dropped the title.
And it would just,
and I think it would,
it
be
would
the
just
stupidest
be terrible.
Thing. I think it would be the stupidest thing WWE could do. Putting the strap on either Del Rio or Swagger. It's just,
I can't see them doing
no,
it.
No, I can't either.
Go ahead.
I mean, ladder match, I mean, that's exciting.
I think ladder match
didn't blow my socks off. I mean, all three of these guys, let's face it, all three of these guys, they've got experience in ladder matches. All three of them are Money in the Bank winners. So
yeah, that part's true, actually.
Yeah. So they've all got experience in ladder matches. It should be a good match, but like I said, it would blow me away if Ziggler dropped the title.
And all three members have sidekicks or managers.
Yeah, you know, as was
evident on Monday Night Raw.
That was quite the interesting opening segment.
Did you like how they started Raw this week?
I thought it was, yeah, you know what, I didn't mind it. It was an entertaining segment. I really liked the
Ricardo versus Zeb.
Oh, I'm blanking right now. Help me out here.
No, I want to watch you crash and burn. Come on, think of it. Oh, that's so good, man. No, Ricardo versus Zeb Coulter versus Big E Langston.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know why I couldn't remember
Big E Langston there.
And you're supposed to be the go-to guy.
Holy, no, I just total brain fart right there. And there you go. Live on Smack Talk.
And then he follows it up with that word. That's just awesome. You're such right. a pro. You are such a pro.
I am.
So how did you like that way they started Monday Night Raw?
No, it was very good, very entertaining.
Really?
I thought for sure Zeb Coulter was going to win, take it, but...
How does Big E not walk out as the winner of that match?
I know. That's what I was looking at you at the start of that. I'm like, geez, who's going to win this one?
And it didn't even happen.
No, Ricardo ended up rolling up Zeb.
But I do like the ladder match. Should be good with those three guys. It'll be entertaining.
It'll be a good match, yep.
Am I buying the pay-per-view because of it?
I don't know. Are you?
Oh, I'm buying it anyways, but that's only because I'm in a hardcore fan. I mean, we're trying to get the casual fan to sign up here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Triple H, Brock Lesnar, not a lot happening this week.
They had zero happen this week. No Triple H, no Brock Lesnar. All they did was play a video package. I'm totally disinterested. Really? Totally disinterested, yep.
Is this the main event of the show?
Probably will be, and it's not the match I'm buying this pay-per-view for, that's for sure.
I can't. I think Cena Ryback comes over.
Actually, no, you're right. You're right. Sorry. I take that back. I was just going to say Cena Ryback's going to be the main event. I totally take that
back. I'm just like not even...
This will be the undercard, though.
To me, this Brock Triple H feud ended at WrestleMania. I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah, it's just... You're right back to square one. All of a sudden, one guy's got one up again.
This has been dragging on for quite some time. I think people want to see Brock Lesnar move on now. They want to see him evolve with someone new.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know. Yes.
That's all I got to say about that is yes. I'm not interested.
Okay. I'm trying to sum up my feelings for wrestling right now because... Obviously, I love wrestling, and I love the product, but what I'm watching here in the last few weeks, it's not the greatest.
I can sum up your feelings for wrestling.
What?
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
It's true, though. I enjoyed the wrestling on this show this past week. I really did. I enjoyed the actual wrestling.
I will agree with you there.
They really did well on that, but this, you got to have storylines. Half of wrestling is storylines, and the storylines are just not working for me right now at all.
Yeah, there's nothing really remotely interesting.
Caitlyn getting a secret admirer.
I was just gonna get to that.
I'm surprised that's not the main event program.
Well, the way
this is terrible.
Hey, who knows? In 2 weeks, this could be the way they're going right now. 2 weeks, this could be. Who do you think it is?
I think it's Cody Rhodes.
You think it's Cody Rhodes?
Yeah.
I think it's gonna be Hornswoggle.
Unbelievable.
Because every freaking time they do like some mystery something, it always turns out to be bloody Hornswoggle.
No way.
Every freaking time.
Could you imagine? I will play this clip over and over again if it's Hornswoggle. Oh my God.
I'm telling you, it's going to be Hornswoggle.
What about the Shield? We played them off the top of the show. They continue to be strong. They come out and just basically... Let everyone know that they've changed the landscape.
WWE's got going right now. Absolutely.
Okay. You can say that, but to me, I don't understand what the plan for these guys are. First of all, I'll say it again. I don't know what Injustice means. And actually, when I interviewed The Shield at WrestleMania 29
and they didn't know it either.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is it?
No, I totally agree with
you
there.
What have these guys done differently?
They have...
Hold on a second, James. What have they done differently week to week compared to when they debuted back in what, October, November?
It was Survivor Series, I believe. Yeah, back in November last year.
Okay, so what have they done differently from the first day they've started? It has been the same thing week in and week out.
Well, they've continually been strong and they've... taken down the top names time after time. I mean, just on SmackDown, you had them beat down The Undertaker. Now on Monday Night Raw, you had them pin the WWE champion clean. I mean, As far as their gimmick goes, no, they haven't done anything different from when they debuted back in November. But
is there any...
Do they really need to?
Any long-term payoff with what these guys are doing right now?
Any long-term payoff?
Yeah. You can't, you've been coming out and destroying other guys in the locker room for, what, the past 4 months? At some point, does this translate into some payoff where this was all for a reason, or there was someone behind the Shield, or does this go anywhere?
Who knows? Maybe Paul Heyman has some grand machination behind the Shield and bringing them in and, you know, letting them be the force they are. I mean, I know it's already been determined in the storyline that the Shield are kind of like mercenaries. They work for, I guess, for money or whatever. I mean, what else would you work for? But
I don't know.
You know,
I'm trying to find the motivation.
But exactly. At this point, there's no clear motivation. And like I said off the top of the show, unfortunately, at this point, it just seems like they're being used as a plot device to be, you know, the bad guy from week to week to progress whatever other program, like the main event program or whatever, with Cena and Ryback. And it's just...
To me, they've kind of become like a go-to way to like finish matches.
They're the top heels right now. That's what you got to look at.
But it's just like how do we finish this match? Well, we could have the Shield come out.
Well, it's like
that's what it feels like.
Well, it's like we need to put somebody credible against Cena this week. Let's do the Shield.
We need to
put somebody credible against the Undertaker.
No.
Let's do the Shield.
No, no. To me, it's more like...
No,
it's more like we can put whoever we want in the ring together, and we can just finish the match by having the Shield come out, and no one looks bad. It's like a go-to...
It's a go-to way to finish matches. It's a go-to schmoz, absolutely. No, I agree with you there.
So.
But But the one thing with the Shield is I really like how the WWE is protecting these guys and keeping them strong from week to week. And that's, I mean...
Yeah. They booked them properly in that sense.
Picture perfect example of what you can do and how you can build guys by booking them properly. And these three guys, I mean, we say it week after week, super, super bright futures for all three of these guys.
These guys are going to go far. Absolutely. Without question. They're all good. I haven't really seen any flaws in them. I don't think you'll see flaws in them until they maybe go in their own direction.
You know, and I mean, if you'd asked me a few weeks ago, you know, I would have said maybe Roman Reigns was kind of like the weakest link in the three. But you know what? I don't say that anymore. All three of them
look
completely
he's good.
Solid. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think so far all three of these guys look completely solid. And these guys are the one thing that are keeping me interested. Monday Night Raw from week to week, I've got to be honest with you.
There's only one trio in wrestling, really, that is going to go farther than the Shield, and that's 3MB.
Oh, I mean, that's just a given, right? God, what a showing by 3MB this week. They just come out to get beat up twice. I mean,
perennial, the Shield hasn't lost
that
yet.
Just
hold on.
Stamps perennial jobber on all of these guys.
Shield hasn't lost yet since they've debuted.
I love it though.
Shield hasn't lost yet since they debuted. Has 3MB won?
No, they haven't. That's the funny thing. They're like the reverse Shield. They just keep going out there to...
Evidence that wins or losses do not matter.
Right there in black and white. Yep.
Really?
I totally agree with you. What a week in wrestling.
No kidding, man. No
kidding. Not the greatest Monday Night Raw storyline-wise. So, I mean, that aspect wasn't really keeping me that interested. But we said it before... Good wrestling wise. I mean, I got to give it to the hats off to the performers this week. It was very good in that sense. So, Extreme Rules should be a decent pay per view coming up.
2 weeks away, or just over 2 weeks.
2 weeks away. Where's Extreme Rules coming from?
Scott's Trade Center in St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis, we're up 2-0 on the Kings after tonight.
You just like hearing me talk like an announcer when I do that.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. All right. That'll wrap up Smack Talk Radio Live for another week. And to find this show, remember, www.smacktalkradiolive.com. Like the page at facebook.com/smacktalkradio. That's a great way to follow along as well. At SRL Radio on Twitter.
What's that address?
You didn't hear me? At SRL Radio. And another great way to listen to our show is through Stitcher Radio. And you can find us, just look up Smack Talk Radio Live on Stitcher.com. Get the app on your iPhone or Android or whatever. I'm telling you, great way to stream the show And an even better way to listen to our show, in my opinion, is with an iPhone app called iCatcher. And it downloads podcasts that you subscribe
to. It's a very good app.
It comes right to your phone. You throw in your earbuds. You just really, you listen to it whenever you can. Sometimes I'm listening to it on the treadmill. Sometimes I'm listening to it driving to work, whatever.
You on a treadmill?
Yeah, that happens. My co-host, ladies and gentlemen, James McDonald.
Another way to send us your thoughts and opinions, we've got an email, Corey. I keep plugging this thing every week on air at smacktalkradiolive.com. Tell us what you thought about Monday Night Raw. Was it as exciting for you as it was for us? Tell us what you think about the whole state of the professional wrestling industry in general. Hit that send button to on air at smacktalkradiolive.com, and there could be some cool swag coming your way.
I've said it since day one. One day I will pull the trigger and invest an entire phone system for this show.
That would be cool.
But I'm not doing it until people start taking part through at least email. If they're not even emailing in, I'm not going to go and spend all this money and get a phone system installed to be let down.
What? Why not?
Because I'm a dick like that. You better start sending emails in if you want to be talking on the phone.
There
no,
you go.
No one's calling
the
it.
The ultimatum has been laid down, folks.
It's all your fault.
That's
that
right.
We don't have the phone system. All right, let's get out of here. I'm Corey Callahan.
And I am James McDonald.
We'll be back next week. Smack Talk Radio Live. See you then.
Thanks for listening.